chapter 4, familiar passage of scripture, especially this year. This is one that I can't get it out of my system. So if you could bear with me one more time here tonight. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 tells us, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. I want you to understand the topic, the subject that Paul is dealing with here at the top is that we are walking worthy of our calling. Verse 3, as a part of that, he's describing walking worthy of that calling, is verse 3, endeavoring, trying, doing our best to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, a well-oiled machine. The Lord to help us. Can you pray for me tonight that the Lord would anoint my lips and my mind? But also pray for yourself that the Lord would give us all ears to hear, receive with meekness his word. Let's pray together right now. Jesus, we are grateful, God, for this opportunity. Thankful, Lord, for your presence that's in this place tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your faithful people of God. Pray that you would bless each of them. Pray that your anointing, God. I pray, Lord, that there would be liberty in this service. God, I pray that you would accomplish what you intend to accomplish. Don't let me get in your way. Yeah, why don't we clap our hands to the Lord tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Many of us men, perhaps some of the women here tonight have also had the privilege of doing this, have operated a mowing machine, and maybe not all the women, but I know some have. I know my mom used to mow my grandparents' property. And I'm glad it was her, not me. I saw that mountain she had to mow in it. And I'm not exaggerating. It was actually a mountain. She would go up and down this side of this hill for about an acre and a half. But if you guys know that if you've used that equipment to maintain your lawn, then you know that not only does the lawn need maintenance, but the lawn mower needs maintenance. And that lawnmower you can't just put it in the garage and hope it works next summer. Right. And then pick it out next summer and go to town, and then you put it back in the garage and hope it works next summer. Now, that's the way we did it at our house. And this is how I learned. I learned by experience that just putting it in the garage, or in our case, we just parked it behind the house and let the snow settle on it. And it would leak, and gaskets would crack, and every time it fired up in the springtime, billows of white smoke would come from within. But the reason for that was because we did not oil it well. In fact, if you were mowing that grass, after a long period of time of mowing, on a particularly long day, if it got too hot, we'd wait until the evening, because I chose to sleep in on Saturday morning instead of mowing. But so I start in the evening, start mowing grass, and the sun would start to set. And believe it or not, that exhaust system on that lawnmower, which was set in the front of it, it would start to glow red. You could see the heat that was coming off of this because it was not a well-oiled machine. It was just a machine, and it was working, but it was not well-oiled. And as time proceeded, there came a day when that long-beloved orange, I don't even know what kind of lawnmower it was. It wasn't the Cub Cadet, it was another one. But it was that orange one, and it finally gave up the ghost, and we had to go invest in a new one. Thankfully, Brother Weems had an extra one. He brought it over. And I also remember Brother Jaheim Johnson received a beautiful 88 Honda Civic that we received from a lady out of, I think it was near Bonner Springs, just south of Bonner Springs. You remember that old Honda Civic, Jaheim? You do? You haven't forgotten it, have you? Well, I don't know how you could, because we uh, We got the car. Probably, how long did you drive it? About a year or two? Really? Not even a year? Okay. Well, as soon as we got it, I heard a little ticking in the engine. And I told Jamie, I was like, you need to go and get some high mileage oil put in this car. And probably just leave whatever's in there and just fill it up to the top. So you went, oh, by the way, before we move on to the car, on that old orange lawnmower, what we would do is, it was leaking oil. So we figured the machine was too far gone. So we would just let the oil drop out of the bottom of it, and we'd take it and dump it to the top of it when it comes springtime. And that oil was as black as sin. It was the dirtiest oil that you'll ever have. But we knew the engine was gone, so we just drove it till it dropped. That's what that means. It means I have a revelation, a personal revelation of what it means to drive it till it drops. But Brother Jaheim also learned that lesson with that Honda. And one night after church, he gave me a phone call. And he was driving up K7. I don't know if they were going somewhere to eat. I think they were taking TJ home. And he gave me a call, and he was on the side of K7 Highway. He just got off the got onto the highway from this exit. And so it wasn't even, I don't know, probably 200 or 300 yards off that exit. And he was on the side of the road. And I saw the explosion where it happened. The entire bottom end of his engine had blown up because there was no fresh oil in there. It was not a well-oiled machine. It was an old machine that was running, and it ran, Brother Hall, until it dropped. Amen. And I want to come back to these two stories. I didn't just tell you that to tickle your fancy. I have a reason for telling you that. But this is the subject that I want to talk to you about tonight. A well-oiled machine. We as men, and perhaps some of you ladies have learned from experience that it's important to maintain your equipment, to take your car to the shop and let them change the oil when it comes time, every 5,000 miles, 10,000 miles, depending on who you talk to and the year of your car and the various philosophies that revolve around that. But you've got to make sure that you have a well-oiled car. It lubricates all the mechanisms that exist in there. I'm not even pretending to know what all is involved in the reasoning for it, but I know that it's necessary because it helps the engine run more smoothly, helps the components within it to run more smoothly. And in this scripture that we read as a text in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, tells us, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, the word endeavoring means to exert oneself, to endeavor, to give difference. It's translated in other scriptures as doing diligence, to be diligent, to give diligence, to be forward, to labor, to study. This is what the word endeavor. So be diligent, to give diligence about a given thing. To keep means, so we're talking about endeavoring to keep. To keep means metaphorically to keep the state in which one is, to hold firmly, to guard from loss or injury or destruction properly by keeping the eye open. And then figuratively, this definition is provided by Thayer's. Again, this is a figurative definition. It's not the literal translation, but it means to maintain. So I'm going to make application tonight. This is where I got my title. Now, I will also be transparent and say that the title did not originate with me. Elder Burgess preached a message entitled this years ago that I heard Brother John Burgess in Colorado Springs. But I like the title, but the content is original with me. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, as a text, is original with me. Everything that you hear tonight is original with me, except with the exception of the title. Amen. But endeavoring means to give diligence, and to keep means to figuratively to maintain. So I'd like to submit a little translation of this verse, an application, if you will. And that is diligently doing maintenance on the machinery of the Spirit, which is the church. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, diligently doing maintenance on the machinery of the Spirit, which is the church. Psalms 133, verses 1 through 3 tells us, a song of degrees of David, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is not only going to be a message on unity tonight, but I'm going to use that as a jumping off point, that the psalmist, even the psalmist, knew that in a family it is good, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then he goes on to describe what it's like when you strike that perfect unity, that unifying relationship between two brothers. Then he goes on to say it's like precious ointment. It's like precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of the garments. Verse 3, it is as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. In the book of Exodus, I want to back up and look at verse 2 for just a second, if you don't mind putting that on the wall. He said, first of all, this is what unity is like. Unity is like the precious ointment upon the head. It's like, it is like that anointing oil that is placed upon one who is called by God, called by the man of God into some labor, into some task. That is what unity is like. So let's look at that. Exodus, the psalmist knew this. David knew this when he was writing this. This command in Exodus, as they were giving specifics about how conduct themselves in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, as they were forming their relationship with God after exiting the nation of Egypt, the children of Israel. Moses told them that in verse 6 of Exodus 25, that oil is for the light within that tabernacle. Oil is for the light. That pure olive oil, he describes in other areas, that oil, that pure beaten olive oil is for the light. And then what does he say in the next line? He said, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense. Spices are for the anointing oil. The spices are for the anointing oil. I believe that's what David was talking about in Psalms 133 when he described that behold, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like that anointing oil, the precious ointment upon the head. It is that same anointing oil that is used upon the head of a man that has been called into some service for the Lord. This bottle of oil, this small bottle of oil, came from Pastor and Sister Regan when they traveled to the Holy Land. I believe it may have been the first time that you guys went with Brother Stevens. Was that the first time you went? Was Brother Stevens? I think that's when you guys got these for us. And this, he got one for me, my brother, and Brother Merriman. And it's not just an ordinary bottle of oil, but it's the anointing oil as the Israelites, as the children of Israel would use. And in it, it is not just pure olive oil. Now, it starts, that's the basis, is that it's pure olive oil. But within it, if you were to open this up, now it's not as strong anymore. I smelled it before church, in this oil is a concentrate of frankincense, myrrh, and spikenard. They're various spices that were mixed into this olive oil that once was pure, but now has a certain aroma because of the mixture of those spices into that oil. And that there are special spices mixed, and I don't know the reasons for which these spices. I don't have those details, but that's not relevant for the application that I want to make tonight. The psalmist was talking to his audience, writing in this psalm. He was singing about the unity of brethren, how it is as if it is that anointing oil mixed with these precious spices, these unique flavors, these variable spices that are mixed into the oil. It's not just the pure olive oil. It is olive oil mixed with these spices, and that is specifically what constitutes the anointing oil. Why am I taking so much time on this? Let me tell you, I'm grateful for all of the spices this is the application here, that the Lord has permitted to enter into this building, enter into this bottle, if you will. The various styles of personalities and individual and lifestyles that consist within these pews. And I'm here to tell you that I believe that those spices, the uniqueness, I'm sure that there are other forms of mixtures that are for various purposes, salve and healing purposes and differences. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that every one of you, amen, that's sitting in this place has a unique and a distinct purpose. Amen. When you come into the house of the Lord, when you come into the sanctuary of God, amen, your spices, your aroma is necessary. Hallelujah. The beautiful aromas, amen, have various forms of impacts. The different spices that you represent have a different kind of impact on others that allow this anointing oil, if you will, amen, to touch their lives, to come over them. Hallelujah. Amen. He didn't just say, though, psalmist didn't just say that unity is the precious oil. But it is also as the dew of Hermon. That is Psalms 133, verse 3. The dew of Hermon. Right. It is as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessings and even life forevermore. I believe in citing my sources. I didn't get this originally either. This is from one of pastor's lessons while I was studying on unity in a previous set of lessons that I was teaching. Amen. But listen to what the wise men said about the dew. Now, Hermon was a mountain that was known for the abundance of dew that settled on it every morning. Every morning, this mountain of Hermon was known for the sufficient, the overabundant supply of dew that settled on that mountain in the morning. And the term Hermon means sanctuary. It literally means sanctuary. That's what the term is, that's what the definition is. And Proverbs, the wise man describes dew in this way. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 12, he says, the king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. The wise man described dew as the favor of the Lord. And so if you apply that idea to what we just read, that brethren dwelling together in unity is as the dew of Hermon. There is an overabundance of the favor of God with those who dwell together in unity. That when we set aside our differences, when we are willing to bring together our individual lifestyles, we check our cultures, our ideas, our agendas at the door, and we come into the house of the Lord, and we are unified with our brethren, I believe the Lord places a special favor on that. In fact, amen, if we read the end of verse 3 in Psalm 133, it tells us that there the Lord commanded blessing, even life forevermore. Where there is an overabundance of dew, there's an overabundance of favor, which is a result of the unity of the brethren. If there is an overabundance of favor, then in that place, in that location, God will pour out his blessings. Furthermore, God will command his blessings. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the sanctuary of unity. That is what the house of God ought to be. It ought to be, amen, the canister where all the various spices come together, where there is an overabundance of dew every morning. It's not just something that happens every now and then. Amen. But there is a consistency. There is a unity, amen, that always flows from this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. I'm grateful for all the unique inputs, the variables, the spices, if you will, that God has graced this sanctuary with. However, this bottle is not filled with just spices. When I went to Africa for the first time, I bought Mom this array of spices from Africa. Now, I don't think you can put that on any Americanized food at all, but it sits in her cupboard or somewhere in her room. But those are just bottles or vials of spices, but they're dry. There is nothing that causes them to mix together. There's nothing that bonds them together. They're just individual spices, and there's probably 10 or 11 or 12 of those different types of spices that are there, but they're separated. I wish I had thought to get that from you before service tonight so you could all see. But this is frankincense, myrrh, and spikenard, various spices that are mixed. And if you look in there, you don't see any of those individual spices. Right. It's just, you can smell them. Right. You can sense that they're there, but you don't see them with your eyes. It's mixed in. It's bonded together. By what? The oil. It's the oil that is bringing these spices together, and these spices are absorbed in this oil. They are dissolved into the oil. They no longer have they contribute to what it is. They contribute to this. It's not just, doesn't just smell it. You can sense the olive oil. It's definitely olive oil. But you can also sense there's a unique smell to this one versus all the other types of olive oil. If you were to buy olive oil, pure olive oil off of the shelf at the grocery store like this, Pastor always keeps extra virgin olive oil. This is the purest form of olive oil that you can buy at a grocery store. And when we come down and place that anointing oil on your head, what do you think that symbolizes? Does anybody know? It represents the Holy Ghost. It represents the Spirit of God. Right. What we're doing in that act is we're taking that oil, and this is a scriptural example. This is a scriptural symbol. But you can see it in the pattern of the tabernacle where there's a pure olive oil that is flowing in the candlesticks. And those candlesticks, represent, us, that we, contain within our bodies, within our beings, the pure, unadulterated oil of God, God's Spirit. Oh, God, hallelujah. That's what gives us light. And that's what it said in Exodus 25, verse 6, put that back up on the wall. Oil for the light. That pure olive oil is what gives us light, helps us shine. That's what gives us the bonus to be bold, to be strong. And for the Lord our God is with us. When we go from this place, we ought not to be dim. Amen. There ought to be a bright light, that shines from us. Amen. We ought to exude, this light, from our being. We ought not to wake up on a Monday. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. And be somber and depressed, but we ought to let the light of the Holy Ghost shine. Hallelujah. Let your light so shine among men. Hallelujah. 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 I want to reemphasize. I'm grateful, amen, for all the variable spices, all the different kinds of flavors that God has introduced mix. But let me try to encourage this church tonight, amen, that this is not just a sanctuary of spices. This is not just a bottle of dried spices, amen, with our independent and different forms of aromas and influences. But we ought to be joined together. We ought to be bound together. Hallelujah. I gave my translation of that scripture at the very beginning, the diligently doing maintenance on the machinery of the Spirit, which I said is the church. We come to church, and this is the body that through which the Holy Ghost has to move. Amen. Scripture tells us that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are the vessels. We are the bodies. We are the candlesticks, if you will. Amen. That allow the Holy Ghost to flow into your workplace. If anybody is ever going to come in contact, amen, with the touch of the Holy Ghost, amen, let me tell you, it might come in some circumstantial prayer meeting in their bedroom. It might come, amen, because of some, amen, opportune moment. Amen. But I'm going to tell you a guaranteed way that they can come in contact with the Holy Ghost is if you get up in the morning and say, I need a fresh baptism of that oil. Amen. Absorb all of my spices, all of my different flavors in that oil today. Hallelujah. Behold, how pleasant, amen, it's not enough for us just to come to church and clap our hands and sing these songs, amen, but we've got to come together. Yes. Come on now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. As we laughed about, amen, those machines that were blowing up here and falling apart there. Amen. Dad, thank you for letting me learn the value, amen, of a well-oiled machine. Amen. I want you to understand, amen, that this church ought to be well-oiled. Every service that we get into, every time that we come to the house of God, we ought to appeal to the oil of God to flow through this place. We need a well-oiled machine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The thing that brings together the people with different backgrounds, thing that soothes everything, that brings that bond together. Now, we can, is the Spirit of God. We can have common interests. We can have common enjoyment. I've learned that Brother McCauley really likes to cook, and Brother Josh really likes to cook, grill. And Brother Josh told me last night about his wonderful new grill. And I like to grill. And I like the result of grilling. But I'm not as talented as these men. But there's a common interest there between him and Brother McCauley, and I catch them, I mean, off on the side talking to one another, and there's something that brings them together. Brother Toby's on that crew too, I would imagine. There's Brother Jerome and my wife like to go fishing. So guess what we're going to do tomorrow morning, Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise, is that we're going to try to go fishing. So this is something that my wife has done every Memorial Day with her family, and she was, I hope I'm not embarrassing you, but she was just thinking about her family, and she's like, man, this is Memorial Day. We usually go fishing. I said, well, babe, let's go fishing tomorrow morning. So we're going to try to do it. Thank the Lord for just a normal job. I don't have to wake up early in the morning and get to work. I get to go take the day off. We get the day off. Yeah. Nice. So Pastor and I were talking this afternoon. He's like, doesn't it feel nice not to have to? And I said, yes, sir, it feels so nice not to have to take on all the responsibilities of a business. So thank God for that blessing. But so tomorrow, so there's common interest that's going to bring us literally together. We're going to go fishing together. We're going to spend some time together. Amen. But we also know, many of us know, that those interests go beyond just the church house. It's not just people within this church. Right. Amen. But we can find co-workers that have various interests and so on. And I'm trying to illustrate a point that just interests are not sufficient to form those bonds. Right. It'll bring us together. It'll put us in the same package, if you will. It'll create maybe a common mixture that is used in some practical uses, but it doesn't have the effect that if we all of us have come tonight together. And what is the common thing that we are all here for tonight? We're here to be in the presence of God. Yeah. That ought to be the primary thing that brings us together. And I believe it is. It ought to be the primary thing that drives our common interest. I'm looking forward to tomorrow morning. I'm looking forward to tomorrow afternoon to enjoy some time, amen, with the church people, amen. But I'm telling you, amen, that those interests that we have together, amen, to eat and to dine and to have a good time, amen, come secondary to the oil of the Holy Ghost, that fresh anointing, amen, that God makes available in every single service. Hallelujah. What's going on right now is far more important. Yes. I believe that it's important. Yeah. I believe it's necessary. I love what we're doing with our outreach. Amen. Putting together these events that allow us to form personal relationships. It's possible, Brother Nelson, amen, that as we form interest with those in this community and within your personal community, amen, that they might sense something else about you, amen, that you have an interest in, that you spent your life with, and that is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hopefully, it gets beyond just fishing, amen, and grilling, amen, but it goes, amen, into the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anointing comes when the man, those spices, allow himself to be absorbed, to be mixed with the Holy Ghost. Psalms 23, verse 1. Amen. Tells us, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How many of you can relate with the psalmist tonight? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm here to tell you tonight, I believe, amen, that while I can tune in online, I can connect on the internet and listen, amen, to perhaps a recording, amen, I believe that the psalmist is telling us, amen, that if I can get into the presence of the Lord, amen, and then let the anointing, amen, flow over the top of my head, amen, allow my cup to run over, amen, that I'm a well-oiled part of this machine, that the goodness and the mercy, the favor and the blessings of God, amen, will never leave me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Friend, if you have the anointing, if you allow the Holy Ghost, amen, I'm not going to preach much longer, amen, but if you have the Holy Ghost in your life, amen, if you've got that well-oiled, if you've allowed yourself to be doused in the oil of the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, that's all you need. You don't have to look for anything else. You don't have to be able to sing a certain way. You don't have to be able to wear certain types of clothes. There is no need for anything else. What you need is the oil. That's what will form those bonds. That's what will bind you together with the others that are a part of the house of God, a part of God's sanctuary. There's nothing, amen, that unifies this house like the oil. Hallelujah. Even if we just have a move of the Holy Ghost in every service, I'm telling you, that is sufficient. That's enough. We don't have to have talented musicians or singers. Those are blessings. Those are common interests, but I'm here to tell you, those are not even necessary. You don't have to have an orator. You don't have to. I wish somebody was here what I'm trying to convey tonight. All you need, child of God, amen, is that absorption in the oil of God. Cover me, God. Fill me full and overflowing. It truly is that simple. I mean, when you go back to the early 1900s and read about what happened, I mean, they didn't have talented musicians. God bless church with those people. Amen. You didn't have to have certain people. Amen. But songs begin to flow. Amen. From those moments. Amen. Being covered by the oil of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Because they were well oiled. Amen. The oil was flowing freely. Amen. They weren't trying to restrain it. They weren't trying to filter it out. They weren't trying to contain it. The oil was sufficient. 2 Kings 4 verse 1 says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my sons to be bondmen. And Elijah said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. That's all I've got. I've got a pot of oil. Then he said, go, borrow these vessels abroad of thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. That's right. And when thou art coming, I feel the Holy Ghost right now, that thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels. Thou shalt set aside that which is full. And so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel more. And the oil has... I've lost my place. Give me 1 second. So she went out from and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. She poured out, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Sister Tori, you can come up. I'm getting ready to close. There's not another vessel out there. I'm telling you, when we get our focus on the right thing, amen, God bless all the efforts that are around, amen, the events coordinating and the musicians and the singers, the practicing that takes place, amen, but we cannot lose our focus on the thing that is most important. It's the thing that brings us together. It's the thing that has filled us up, amen, and will fill up others if we can bring them into the house. Hey, pastor, all I have, amen, is just a prayer life. All I have is just a walk with God. Hey, friend, I'm here to tell you that's all we need. We just need somebody to be full of the oil. Come on, let's all stand together tonight. Hallelujah. I don't have anything else. I just have a single pot of oil. That's enough. Looks like you're well oiled. It's like you have enough for you. Why don't you go get some more vessels? Why don't you go find some others that are empty? Why don't you go find some that need to be filled with this oil? And I want you to understand that she kept asking until the very last pot in that town, the very last empty pot in that town was in her house. But not only was those pots sitting in her house empty, but the oil was enough, Dad, to fill every one of those pots. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, what we need is more oil. What we need is a fresh baptism. Before we leave this place tonight, we need to make sure that we are full of the oil of God. So that when we go out to this town and we bump into other empty vessels, we go to our work and we find other empty vessels, that we are well oiled. We have enough to pour into them. We have enough to give to someone else. That when they bump up against us in line while we're waiting for lunch, or they cut us off in traffic, that what bumps out is not anger or frustration, but that we let the Holy Ghost flow. We're well oiled. If we can do this, I'm telling you, if we can do this, I'm telling you that the kind of revival that awaits this church is unprecedented. You know the story of the 10 virgins, how 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. What was the distinguishing factor? That the wise ones had sufficient oil. They were well oiled. They had enough to sustain them through every circumstance. They were ready for the bridegroom to come. They weren't living in a situation that I've got some oil. I felt God last service. I spoke in tongues on Sunday night. I went to the altar on Tuesday night. That's good. That is important. But my question is, are you full? Because if you're full, if you're not full, then you're just dry spices. Separated. You can't be bound together with anybody else. But if you allow yourself to be covered, to be absorbed by the oil of the Holy Ghost, by the power of God's Spirit, in this service tonight, I'm telling you, God will join you together. Let's all talk to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. The prophet told us the yoke is destroyed by what? The anointing. We need the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Doesn't matter what you face. Doesn't matter what you struggle with. I'm telling you, if you get full of the Holy Ghost, if you get a fresh baptism of God's Holy Spirit, God, don't let me leave this place tonight without a fresh renewing in the Holy Ghost.